The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco. And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Patrick Walker, Nick Harris, and Kyle Yeomans.
Well, obviously, I am not Kyle Yeomans. I am Haley Sutton filling in for the Kyle Yeomans as he is celebrating his honeymoon. He just got married last week, so letting him celebrate. He is somewhere in Alaska, I think. Seattle, perusing. They're taking an Alaskan cruise. So we wish Kyle well. I'm excited to be with you guys. Nick, this is our first time really getting to work together. And Patrick, I feel like I haven't seen you in like years.
I know.
It's been a minute.
Welcome
back.
Like it's been a while. Yeah, I stepped away, had vacation, air quotes, a little bit of a mental health reset, but we are back in the building, and no better way to do it than with Nick and you. And you and I, we haven't tapped in on a pod together
in a minute.
So we gotta get this live today. Yeah,
unique show. We're gonna take advantage of it today.
Yeah. It's just like a little preview for where we do our remix shows during the bye week. So excited to be with you guys here on Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. It's also very good coffee. I've had it. So excited to be on the show with you guys. Excited to get talking a little Cowboys this morning. And the obvious place to start is with that schedule that just came out last week. I know we haven't really had a chance to discuss. We did a gut feeling on the website, and the consensus from everybody was pretty much the same. That stretch at the end in December doesn't look like it's going to be a holly jolly Christmas season, but who knows? Let's dive in. First impressions of this Dallas Cowboys schedule, even though your size kind of...
First thing that stood out, and I love that we all had a different, mostly different view of the most difficult part of the schedule. Mm-hmm. So a lot of you guys looked at the back end, and rightfully so. Look at what's coming for December and around Christmas Eve, and that trip from Buffalo to Miami. Talk about traveling miles and things like that. But what really jumped out to me was the start. So it's all about how you finish. Absolutely, it's all about how you finish in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But getting off to a hot start will absolutely help your finish be that much stronger. The Cowboys, four of their first six games. You're at the Giants. When I say at the Giants, ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, these are the same Giants that made the playoffs last year. These are the same Giants that are taking a step forward under Brian Daboll. This is the Giants team that, in my opinion, is a contender for the NFC East crown. So this is not just the, we're playing the Giants again. You better pay attention, because these Giants, yes, Dak Prescott owns them. That's also true. But the Giants can make waves, and you don't want to start off 0-1, because that's just not how you want to start the season. Come back week three. Yeah, you're in Arizona. We'll see how that goes. Not worried about that. But it is a road game. So four of the first six games are road games. Mm-hmm. Majority of those six games, you have several primetime games mixed into that. That's brutal, because also you're at San Francisco, rematch. You love it, but you hate it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, on Sunday night especially.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The biggest thing about that is it's a Sunday night game. So you want to talk about the pressure of that being a playoff matchup, rematch of the year before, and then the drama just continues, and now we get to see that on Sunday night football.
Oh, but wait, there's more. Because you go from Sunday night football playing against the 49ers, whom you're really trying to get that monkey off of your back against. Monday night football is the next week, and it's against the Los Angeles Chargers. And you could say what you want about Kellen Moore, but if you're paying attention to the numbers and the trends and how he calls offenses, and you give him Justin Herbert, you give him, assuming Austin Eckler is still in the building, but then you also look at what they have defensively as well. On a short week from Sunday night to Monday night, that little two-game stretch in California is pretty freaking brutal. We will know most – about the Dallas Cowboys in 2023 before you get to the Week 7 bye.
Yeah,
Kellen Moore, he's going to walk into SoFi with like that Cam Newton gif.
Oh, yeah. He's like, okay.
Yeah, this is it. But yeah, you mentioned that start. The start is definitely something to pay attention to, especially with three of those four road games being on the West Coast. I mean, we'll see how much maybe training camp will help them, you know, come over that that obstacle. But I like what you said. Going into the bye week, we're going to know a lot about this team. And we're going to know what the problems are. We're going to know what the fixes are. But then coming out of the bye week, I think, you know, you got the Rams and then going at Philly. I'm surprised that's not a primetime game, but hey, I'll take it. But I do want to talk about that December stretch just because, you know, I think there might be a little positive you can find in that December stretch. And I was thinking about it this morning on my drive up here, and I looked on, and this is definitely a positive to take away. So bear with me here. We start on Sunday night, home against Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia going into that game will be coming off a three-game stretch of at Kansas City, home against Buffalo, and home against the Niners.
Ooh.
And then at Cowboys.
We thought we had it bad.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's not too bad. And then if you look at Buffalo, going at Buffalo, going into that game, they got to go at Philly. They get their bye week, but then they got to go at Kansas City, and then they come home against Dallas. So the Cowboys won't be the only one on a tough stretch in December, but
like
Miami, they kind of have a couple layups before. Well, I say layups. They have Aaron Rodgers the week before, but I'm not completely sold that Aaron Rodgers is going to just turn the Jets around.
Here's how I feel about that, though, because I agree. People were trying to clown me on Twitter whenever the whole initiative of get Aaron Rodgers to the Jets started coming to fruition. Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not trying to dog him for his talent, right? He's a great quarterback, one of the best to ever do it. He'll go into the Hall of Fame, all that good stuff, right? But when you look at how he literally just gave up last season. You kind of felt that the year before as well. And then we make all this hoopla about him going to the Jets. Somebody was asking me the other day, you know, like, oh, the Jets are going to be so good. And I'm like, well, who else is on the Jets? Like, you have Aaron Rodgers.
Garrett Wilson.
You have Garrett Wilson. You've got the little running back that was a rookie last year that I believe tore his ACL or his Achilles. So
Michael
Brees.
Carter. Yeah.
Carter or Brees?
Oh, yes. Brees. Yeah, Brees Hall.
Brees Hall. Yeah. Crickets.
I like Sauce Gardner. Yeah. I'll say I like Sauce.
Well, yeah, you have to.
You're right. Yeah, for sure. There's holes up on both sides of the ball there, and I'm not convinced that he's going to step in day one and be an AFC East contender.
Exactly.
Like, that's a tough division. He's got to get out of the division.
I think what's going to help Aaron Rodgers is the familiarity he has with playing at AT&T Stadium, because in that first six game stretch, Aaron Rodgers is coming to AT&T Stadium week two. So you mess around and start off 0-1 against the Giants, and now you're staring at a possible 0-2 hole with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the magic medicine for the New York Jets. I think that time has proven that there is no magic medicine for the New York Jets, because ultimately, while they'll ebb and flow, even at their peak, they're still the Jets. Right. So I do think that'll be a competitive game, because I don't think number one, Aaron Rodgers versus the Cowboys is Aaron Rodgers versus the Cowboys.
Sure.
Flashback to 2022. If we got it, you saw it. You
do
know,
we have to?
You know, the facts are the facts. So, yes, he could come in here and make and cause some damage. Let's put it that way. But by the time the season is over, maybe even midpoint, I think the Jets kind of start to wane a little bit. And as you stated, with Aaron Rodgers' temperament, he's not going to give the Jets as much emotional grace as he gave the Green Bay Packers. If the Jets and those teammates around him that didn't come over with him from the Packers, if those new guys are not up to his standard, he's going to mentally check out, and it's going to be what it's going to be, and then maybe he plays for the Vikings before it's all said and done.
Let me ask you this, though, because this was obviously a conversation that was, you know, going around as the schedule was getting released, the idea that the Jets were going to play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. We obviously know that didn't happen, but my question for you both are, is it better to see Aaron Rodgers week two, or would we have rather seen Aaron Rodgers Thanksgiving time?
Week two, I think, just because it's going to take him a little bit to get accustomed with that offense. There's a lot of different weapons than what he was dealing with in Green Bay. Also, getting in the mindset of competing again, because like you said, it didn't really feel like he was competing at times last year. It was like Christian Watson versus the world. And so, I mean, I'm going to be watching them in the preseason pretty closely just to see how in tune he is with those receivers. I mean, everything you hear out of New York is, oh, he's at practice, he's doing, you know, great, and they're connecting with him, and he's showing up to Knicks and Heat games to watch the Knicks lose. And slight dick there, but
it's okay. I like that. Go Heat.
Yeah, exactly. But the Jets, I would rather see them week two. I hate that it's the first home game. Just I feel like that was someone was evil laughing
of
doing
course
that.
They did that
someone
on
was evil laughing but I, hey yeah. Step up to the challenge.
That's, and that's I'm saying, I agree, Nick. I believe that it's better to see Aaron Rodgers in week two. Number one, go ahead and get it out of the way. Also, I want to see – I'd rather play the Aaron Rodgers coming out of the darkness, right? I want to see this Aaron Rodgers. I don't want – the one that still needs to be broken in with his new team.
Yeah.
I think by the time you get to November, December, the Jets are kind of, we'll see. But even around Thanksgiving – you know Aaron Rodgers will get up for – it's not a primetime game, but it's a prime time game. Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers is going to get up for that. He lives for that. And it's against the Cowboys. Week two is much more of a – from his standpoint, it's like he's still feeling out the new guys. And he's like, hey, it's the Cowboys. I'm going to try to get up for it. But it's week two. If I lose this game, it's not a big deal because that's how Aaron Rodgers thinks, because he knows he's good enough most times to overcome it over the course of a season. I'd rather see him week two while they're still figuring out things in New York.
I agree. I think that exactly everything you just said, don't give him a chance to get warmed up and finally break that curse. And then I think from a, you know, just a morale standpoint, like you get that off the way, then your next checkpoint is beating the 49ers and getting past that checkpoint as well. I think a sneaky, interesting part of this schedule that has potential to be really good or really bad for this team as well, it's that stretch right after the bye week. So you host the Rams at home, and I'm not super concerned about that one.
No.
The Rams, to me, I don't feel like they really improved.
Full rebuild.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. And that's not to say that teams can't play. But it's the stretch that comes after that. So they're at Philadelphia, and then they are back home facing the Giants. They got a quick road game to Carolina to see what Bryce Young can do. And to me, that Carolina game, it reminds me of the Jacksonville game last year, where there was so much momentum going into that one. Yep. The expectation was that the Jags aren't very good. They don't have, you know, the same weaponry that the Cowboys had. It should have been a walk-away win. And obviously, we know that wasn't the case. So to me, that Carolina game kind of has that same Jacksonville energy. And then you have to turn around and come back and host Washington. So that's all three of your division games back to back to back, essentially. To me, that would be the defining point, if you will, of the season, because you want to start fast. You want to keep that momentum. But that stretch there, you lose one game. To your point, the Giants are on the rebuild. They're up. Maybe it's the same thing last year where everyone is vying for that first and second spot. So to me, that's an area that I think should be circled on the roster right now that they're preparing for.
100% agree. If you look at the stretch from November 5th through Thanksgiving, like you said, you got three NFC East games, and I think that's going to be pivotal to deciding who comes out the victor for this division.
Yeah.
I think all three of those teams, New York, the Giants, I should say, Philadelphia, and the Dallas Cowboys, those are going to be your three front runners. But I don't think the Commanders are going to suck. Okay, I think the Commanders they're going through some things, new ownership and everything, but I don't think they're a three-win team. I think particularly with that defense, I think they can
– 6 or 7?
8. The ball will bounce in their favor in one of those games, and they'll get a plus one. So I'll say they're an 8-win team. But if they're 8 and 9, they're at least making things difficult for the three teams I see as contenders, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Philadelphia Eagles. So that four-game stretch is going to be something to watch for sure.
Yeah, all they really need is consistent quarterback play. And I feel like they can put it together. I mean, they have the weapons. They have key pieces on defense. Mm-hmm. I feel like they can make that work. But, yeah, coming out of that bye week through – like Thanksgiving or even the Seattle game, that's a crucial part of the schedule. You have to be able to build momentum going into that December stretch. But something that's really cool that I found last week at Carolina, Sunday, November 19th against Bryce Young, the Cowboys in franchise history have only defeated one number one pick at quarterback the year of. Do you know who that is?
I don't. I'm horrible at trivia. I'm not even going to try.
Jim Plunkett, 1971.
I would have never known that.
What?
1-4 all time. So, looking for dub number two. Hopefully we can get that on the road.
And the Panthers offense, it's shaping up to be pretty healthy. And I was one, in speaking about the Jacksonville Jaguars last year, previewing that game, I kept telling everyone, you need to make sure that you understand that they're cooking some things down there, especially with Doug Peterson and what he's able to do with Trevor Lawrence. And you know, you saw ETN come on strong coming off of his injury. And so they did what they did, and the Cowboys should have won that game. And I predicted they would win the game, but I predicted it would be close. But unfortunately, the Cowboys at the end kind of gave up the the buns. But but nonetheless, when it comes to facing Carolina, it's another NFC South team that can be problematic. If it were against the Falcons, I'm not too concerned. I mean, you'd be concerned about Bijan, but overall, you're not concerned. The defense, they have A.J. Terrell. They got a complimentary piece at cornerback, but overall, they're not putting things together, nor are the Buccaneers, who are rebuilding now post-Tom Brady. Now I feel like, and the Saints, they're right there, but it's Saints, Panthers as far as NFC South troublemakers for whom the Cowboys would have to play. So thankfully, it's going to be not the Saints, because I think the Saints are better because Dennis Allen has things going on. But the Panthers are still something to be wary of.
Yeah, like I said before, I think the Panthers will be on the rebuild, obviously. I am most interested to see Bryce Young. You know, I think as the number one overall pick, we kind of saw that coming to fruition.
Do you feel he was the best quarterback in this draft? I'm just curious.
I do. And I will tell you why. I think it's really close between him and C.J. Stroud. Mm-hmm. And I know that new SR or S2 test can it's still new. Yeah, we don't care about that.
Play football.
But something that I actually learned from talking with Deuce Vaughn this week in terms of size, that's Bryce's big question, right? He's small, and he did put on some weight after the season ended, but he's still small. There's going to be times where he's going to get crunched. But here's why I like Bryce Young, and I can say this as well because I've covered him before. Mm-hmm. Bryce is always the most intelligent person in the room in terms of football, in terms of just general knowledge. He's attentive. He's a very quick learner. I think back to when it was in his freshman year at Alabama. He's playing behind Mac Jones. And every time he would get reps when Alabama, you know, was up on the scoreboard, you could just tell, even as a freshman, that the wheels were turning. It was constantly clicking. The way he communicates, the way he's able to roll out of the pocket and be composed, I think that that's the type of stuff with a quarterback that you can't necessarily teach. And it's not to say that C.J. Stroud isn't composed. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that Anthony Richardson wasn't the most athletic quarterback in the draft this year. It's not to say that Will Levis might be a sneaky good contender. But I just think in terms of overall package, when you look at what you want in a quarterback, I think it's Bryce Young. And I think if Bryce had maybe 3 more inches of height and 15 more pounds,
it'd be dangerous.
It'd be dangerous.
I think for my money, it's C.J. Stroud as the best quarterback coming out of this class. And for me, it's not because Bryce is a couple inches shorter than people want. I don't care about that, because not to compare him, because you have to build this resume, but you could cite things like this. You look at Drew Brees and what he was able to do, and even Kyler Murray before his struggles recently, he came into the league, size was a question for him. There is something to be said for these guys who don't necessarily hit your threshold as far as height is concerned at quarterback. Because if you then turn around and look at the other side of the ball and you say, okay, well, yeah, there's a prototypical size. You're Ben Roethlisberger's, those bigger guys and things like that. But then, okay, Paxton Lynch. Okay, so there are prototypes physically that just
Paxton Lynch.
That just
I haven't
don't
heard that name in a while.
To my point.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't go for the prototype, you go for the talent and the IQ, and I feel like Bryce has that in spades. And I don't put him, you know, light years behind C.J. Stroud.
Yeah,
I think it's a 1A, 1B equation.
I
think for me, and it might be biased, not necessarily towards C.J., but because much like you covered Bryce, I experienced the terror of C.J. Stroud, all right? In the college football playoff semifinal, Ohio State versus my dogs, he was an absolute terrorist. Yeah. And the only reason they lost that game was the kicker.
Mm-hmm. And that sucked.
Right. Yeah. But C.J. Stroud was a maniac, and it was at that moment in that game where I said, hey, you know what? And I've seen plenty of Bryce, obviously, SEC. I've seen plenty of Bryce Young. But it was that moment where I said C.J. Stroud takes the nod. But that said, Bryce Young can get it done in Carolina. So when the Cowboys travel out to Charlotte,
it'll be fun.
Yeah, that defense is going to have their hands full. But that said, contrarily, I think this is where the streak kind of ends, and we'll get the previews during the season. But I think the streak kind of ends here, because I don't think that defense that has existed, the defenses that have existed since that Plunkett win, are anywhere similar to this particular defense. So Bryce Young, it's good that he played in the SEC, because this defense he's about to go up against in the Cowboys.
All
and
SEC.
Dan Quinn, good luck, young man.
Yeah, DeMarvion Overshown is going to be looking for a little bit of revenge.
A little bit.
You would have to think.
Just a little bit.
You would have
a little
to
bit
think
of a chip
so.
On his shoulder.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask Demo about that one.
We'll have to get into that. All right, well, let's go ahead and take our first break here on Talkin' Cowboys. When we come back, we may or may not have a special guest, and we will get into some of those rookies like Nick Harris just teased here on Talkin' Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
Want to use the Cowboys' locker room's favorite products? Check out the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. Right now, you can get the Jack Black Playmaker, a curated collection of Cowboys' locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The Playmaker includes four Jack Black skincare favorites, plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word cowboys. The Jack Black Playmaker, $10, free shipping.
Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper, swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing, too.
New Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream. The new flavor you deserve.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Welcome back to Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. Head to Miller Lighthouse at AT&T Stadium for the Cowboys Tacos and Tunes Festival, presented by Miller Lite. Rescheduled to Saturday, June 3rd from 3 to 8 p.m. Enjoy a variety of tacos and food truck options while you sip on cold drinks and listen to some live music. Admission and parking for the Dallas Cowboys Tacos and Tunes Festival is free. Visit att.com/tacosandtunes for more info. We will see you there. Well, gentlemen, no tacos and tunes this morning, but a lot of taco about this schedule.
There
nice.
You go.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's bars. Right there.
That's
I just came
bars.
Up with that. We've been discussing the Cowboys schedule, obviously, and I'm excited to welcome in our special guest, mm-hmm. who's not really a special guest. He's on this show every week. Isaiah Stanback on the phone with us. Isaiah.
Yeah.
What's cracking, buddy?
What is cracking? The dog on cracking weren't cracking last night, but it's okay. I had to be present because I've been repping for my city. I'm proud of my boys for the Seattle Kraken. They went out there and competed hard against the Dallas Stars, but the Dallas Stars were just a little bit too much this time around. But if I didn't show a presence on this show today, I knew that there's a young man over there that has dreads that sits across from the table that was going to have a whole mouthful to say. So I have to be present.
Isaiah, I want you to know that it's not just you. Patrick came in today all decked out head to toe in his Atlanta Braves to talk smack to Nick Harris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then literally in the break did a complete head to toe outfit change. So now he's got Dallas Stars hat, shirt, shoes, the whole set.
I'm watching.
I am a man of my word when I say I'm going to bring the smoke to all respective parties. That is what I'm going to do. Nick Harris had to catch it. The Rangers versus the Braves. I had to give him the Braves segment one. But the beauty of it is we didn't know quite yet if you'd make it on to segment two. But, again, respect my guy because you're not running from the smoke. But I did tell you. Did I not? I did tell you.
You know what? It was the most competitive series.
Yes,
it was.
100%.
I don't care, regardless of the sport.
Yeah.
It was all the way down to the last second. Seattle had their chances. They didn't take advantage. So, Dallas, kudos to y'all going on to the conference finals right there. Hopefully, you guys take care of business. Now that Seattle's out of it, now I'm a Dallas fan. So, I'm going to
welcome. I love it. And shouts out to the Kraken because nothing can be taken away from that team and what
second
they were able
year.
To do. Yeah, and, it took seven games to put them down, jump out on the stars in game one in that overtime win. And again, like you said, Isaiah, just easily the best series thus far of what overall has just been a nightmare scenario for those who complain about hockey, and hockey is too boring. If you're not watching these NHL playoffs, I don't know what you're watching. Yeah. But yeah, Isaiah, inhale that smoke. Inhale, just take a deep breath. Get it all in your alveoli.
Right?
Yeah, just get it all in your bloodstream.
Isaiah, we've been talking about the schedule. I would love to know your thoughts on it, just initial thoughts, and maybe a stretch where you feel like the Cowboys have to be successful in order to be successful in 2023.
You know what? As I look at this, I think it's the whole season. As soon as I see this schedule, the first thing that comes to my mind is competitive. Mm-hmm. That's literally the first word that comes to my mind. There's maybe two teams on here that you just feel like you can probably, you know, handle in your sleep. Other than that, this is going to be competitive. I mean, you obviously got your division woes that you got to deal with all the time. But then you start sprinkling in, you know, the Jets, the Patriots, the Chargers. You know, you got those guys in there. You got the Panthers, who we know they're loading up on a bunch of talent. They have a bunch of young talent right now mixed in with some veterans. They're going to be competitive. Seattle, obviously, is always competitive regardless of how big of the names they have over there. Buffalo, competitive. Lions, they're going to fight tooth and nail. Dolphins, freaking track meet, right? So, I mean, this is going to be a very – I don't know who had it out for the Cowboys this year on the scheduling, but this is not an easy schedule by any means. This is not last year. Last year's schedule could have been very well perceived as being relatively easy. This year, they have it out for Double J this time around, so they're going to have to bring the big boy pants this season.
You know, and what makes it even more challenging is you look at the schedule, and just from a superficial standpoint, you can tell, like Isaiah's saying, this is going to be very challenging because whether it's generally speaking or in certain segments, you talk about the front end, you talk about the back end, we talked about the middle. Okay, well, if the front is difficult and the back is difficult and the middle is difficult, I'm going to go ahead and say the whole thing is freaking difficult. But if you break it down to the minutiae, talking about that trip, from you got Philadelphia, which is going to be a home game, but then you go all the way to Buffalo, and then you drop all the way down to Miami, but then you go all the way to, we didn't say this yet, but we got to point out, you go to Detroit. The Lions.
Detroit's home.
I'm sorry, Detroit is here, but you're playing the Lions. The Lions, the past couple years under Dan Campbell, they're the fighting Dan Campbells, and arguably they now, if you look at the roster as it's set up now on paper, this is the best roster that Dan Campbell has had, and I think this is going to be his third year with the Lions, so that's going to be a difficult challenge as well. So no matter where you point, I mean, you could just drop a pin at any point in the schedule and you're going to have a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. In week 17, Detroit, I feel like a lot of people are talking about how they're the team this year that can really get going and surprise some people and sneak into the playoffs. I don't think they're going to be sneaking into the playoffs by any means. I think they're division favorites over there, which is crazy to say these days. But I'm looking at this schedule, and I could see a reality where they're coming out of this 11-6 or maybe even 10-7, sneaking into a wild card spot, and I would feel more comfortable going into the playoffs than I did last year, just because they're so much more battle-tested. They have some tough road games, and to have that kind of battle on your schedule going into the playoffs, that's something you really want to have. Let's say you get one of Buffalo and Miami, you go to Philadelphia and get a win, and you know you have some scary wins on your schedule. That's going to help whenever playoff time comes around.
Isaiah, I want to take you back to your playing days as well, because I know you said that this schedule top to bottom is incredibly difficult. Was there ever a time, whether it was with the Cowboys or somewhere else, where you had a schedule like this as a player, and how did you approach that mentally?
You know what, Haley, to be honest with you, I don't remember. I mean, you look at it as a player, you look at it and like, oh, it is what it is. You know, you go into every game knowing that you're going to have to bring your best. Now, obviously, some opponents are obviously more talented, more experienced, and are going to be a little bit more grittier than others. But the reality is, as a player, you're going out and you're giving your 100 no matter what. Because if you don't, you're going to go out there and get hurt, and something bad is going to happen, and your season will turn around in the opposite direction. So competitively, you approach it the same. But you, let's be real, you know, you look at the schedule and you say, oh, crap, there's some dogs on the schedule. You know, like I don't know who decided to give Christmas to Dallas, but this is like, who decided to write this up in December? Like honestly, like, I understand that you have your Thursday night games and, you know, you have 10 days off before your next game and, you know, for the first game of December, but that last third, man, come on, Philly, then you got Buffalo, and you got Miami, and you got Detroit. These are all playoff teams.
Yes, dude, yeah.
Like not just playoff teams, but like deep in the playoff type teams. So, like, yeah, this is real. So, I mean, and from that perspective, Haley, like, these guys are going to approach every game the same. It's just that some teams are better than others, and Dallas seemingly, looking at their schedule, has some of the best teams in the NFL.
You know what, Isaiah, to your point, anyone who pulls up the schedule, I challenge you to point at more than two teams that you could scoff at on the schedule.
Yeah.
You could scoff at the Cardinals. They're still an NFL team, so they'll compete. But you know, you can scoff at the Cardinals and you can scoff at the Rams. Who else are you scoffing at? We just said you can't scoff at this version of the Carolina Panthers,
especially on the road on a noon game.
Correct. Yeah. You definitely can't scoff at the Lions. You can't even scoff at the Commanders because again, I think that's an 8-win team, which is below 500. However, they're going to compete tooth and nail with the Dallas Cowboys, and we know this. So, other than the Cardinals and the Rams, none of these are games that you can even remotely overlook. They have to come and play every single week. Now, to the Cowboys' credit, look at the offseason moves they've made, Stephon Gilmore, Brandon Cooks. Look at the additions they've made in the draft. Overall, especially on defense, this Cowboys roster looks to have leveled up. It looks more electric. You talk about Deuce Vaughn, adding him with Tony Pollard and Rojo being that short yardage back. You talk about adding Schoonmaker to the tight end room with Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot. So the Cowboys are not lacking for weapons on any side of the ball, including special teams as well, because Deuce can provide a return game opposite Kevontae Turpin when they need to rest Turpin, whatever they want to do there. So these teams also kind of have it up. They're back against the wall facing the Cowboys. So I know we're talking a lot about, you know, the Cowboys have the schedule cut out for them, but these teams that they're playing, it's not exactly a cakewalk with this particular Dallas Cowboys team. If Dak Prescott, which I'm wholly confident he can, if he can improve upon the interceptions, which statistically were an aberration if you look at the entirety of his career, he can improve upon them. You got a new quarterbacks coach, which I think matters massively. And Isaiah, I know you agree with me on that as well. If Dak Prescott scales back the interceptions, this Cowboys team is going to be – it's a 13-4 team.
Yeah, the offense is going to be a really big determining factor of how this all plays out for obvious reasons. But if we're coming out of the bye week and we have questions about the offense, then we better hope the defense has taken that next step that it looks like they're about to take. And are we going to have to outscore teams, or are we going to have to, you know, put that stone wall up? Yeah, exactly. Mozzie's going to have to get active. That's one thing. That is very much
that man's
thing.
Hungry.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be a problem. He's going to be ready to go.
Isaiah, final thoughts before we let you get back to your morning.
I'm excited to see you.
And when she said morning, she means that M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G.
I know what you're talking about. I'm genuinely
interested in your morning, Isaiah.
Thank you, Aya. I appreciate you. One word that's always consistent with me is competitiveness. Ever since they signed Dan Quinn, that was one of the words, you know, culture and competition and competitiveness. Those are the words that have been really at the root of everything that I really say on this show and any other platform. This is going to be a testament of their character. You're really going to see the character of the Dallas Cowboys in this season, because you're going to have to find out based upon their opponents alone. Regardless of what is self-generated, these guys, when they step on the field against these opponents, these types of opponents, when you talk about the 49ers, they got grit. When you talk about the Eagles and obviously everybody else in our division, they got grit. When you talk about the Panthers, they're hungry. Buffalo, beast. Dolphins, beast. Lions, beast. All these guys are beasts. There's never a question about the resilience and the effort of these teams and their opponents that they're going to be facing. So you're going to find out exactly who your true Dallas Cowboys are come this season. I'm looking forward to it.
We love that. We're looking forward to it, too. Well, enjoy your morning. We're happy that you are a Stars fan with us now. You can also help me root for the Florida Panthers, because that's my secondary team. So
we don't do that here.
Join the Vamos Gatos gang. We're not judgmental.
We don't do that here.
Isaiah, thanks so much for being with us this morning. We'll see you next week.
All right, Jay. That'll be good.
I love Isaiah, man. He always brings such a different perspective. And I love the idea, too. I wanted to ask his perspective on the player side of it, too. And I love that his answer, you know, like, it doesn't really matter. You got to show up and play every day. There's a certain level, a certain mentality that you have depending on certain games. But good to have his perspective also.
Yeah, and that's something that we've heard from current players in the Dallas Cowboys organization, speaking to them game by game. You talk about Dak Prescott and some of these guys who are your cool hand Lukes in the room. No matter what happened, win or loss, that particular week last season, they were always, it's on to next week. It's on to next week. Now, obviously, some losses sting more than others. Green Bay, Jacksonville, and you could see that seething in guys like Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and you know, going forward, Tony Pollard, especially the defensive side of the ball, Leighton Vander Esch, Micah Parsons. You talk about a guy who hates losing, but it doesn't matter who the opponent is. They're going to approach it the same way every week. They're going to prepare every week the same way. The only thing that would change is how big of a chip is on the shoulder for the next week. Now, I will say this. Cowboys have a little bit of an issue with consistency, not nearly to the under the McCarthy era that they had under the Jason Garrett era, but they have shown they can play down to competition, and that's why Green Bay happened. That's why the Jacksonville Jaguars games happened. If they can remain consistent and never play down, just always play like you're playing the alpha. Again, this is a 13, maybe even a 14-win team, but it's not going to come easy. They're not rolling over any more than maybe 1-2 at best. The others come to play.
Look, if we're coming out of week 3, 2-1, and they really stepped on Arizona and didn't play down to the competition in Arizona, man, I'll feel good. Yeah. That's check number one.
I like that.
All right, well, let's take our second and final break here on Talking Cowboys. And when we get back, let's dive in a little bit into some of the rookies. I have a couple of guys who I was impressed with from rookie camp last week. I know, Nick, you probably have some ideas too. So let's talk about it when we come back on Talking Cowboys.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Hey, honey, can we talk?
Of course. What's up?
Well, I just thought you should know I've been curious about the new Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
Have you felt this way a long time?
No, I just think I'd really like the taste of Dr. Pepper swirled with layers of flavor.
If you feel that way, I think you should try it, babe.
It's amazing. I mean, you're amazing, too.
New Dr. Pepper Strawberries and Cream. The new flavor you deserve.
Want to use the Cowboys locker room's favorite products? Check out the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. Right now, you can get the Jack Black Playmaker, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The Playmaker includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites, plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word cowboys. The Jack Black Playmaker, $10, free shipping.
Back to Talking Cowboys.
Welcome back to our final segment here on Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee Company. For fans with nothing but the star on their minds, new era spring styles have arrived. Head to the nearest pro shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and grab your favorites today. We've got a few more minutes here on Talking Cowboys. I want to talk about some of these rookies. I think we all knew coming out of this year's draft, some guys who would maybe be impact players. You teased Mozzie a little bit earlier. I think Overshown is a guy who we know is going to be a competitor, possibly Deuce Vaughn. Nick, I want to open it up to you before we kind of chat about it. We were at rookie camp this weekend. We had a chance to meet all of them. They're so excited. It's like first day of school. But your impressions on this rookie class and maybe a player drafted or undrafted that we should be paying attention to.
Yeah, we talked about it right after the draft, the fact that they picked up guys on both sides of the ball, around the ball. There's a guy at every position that I feel like could make a contribution at some point, whether it be during training camp, preseason, during the season, whatever. And we got to see that during rookie minicamp. And big emphasis on mini because it was a little bit different. The ACMs kind of threw everything out of whack. Mike McCarthy was out because of a back procedure, so the coordinator cameras were running everything, but it was as smooth as it possibly could have gone. And, you know, we get to see these guys in action for probably 30, 45 minutes on Saturday. And it's kind of a tough environment to see if anybody's standing out, but you can look at the physical stature. You can look at and see how they're moving. And if we're talking about moving, you have to start the conversation with Deuce Vaughn, just because they were doing some change of direction, drills, and I was evil laughing once again.
Yeah. It was
very fun. Exactly. And seeing him returning punts a little bit, and I was just like, wow, this is fun. But looking at some undrafted guys, there were a couple that really did stick out to me. Jalen Moreno-Cropper out of Fresno State, a wide receiver with a lot of speed that I think will really translate downfield. I think that's a guy that could definitely sneak onto a roster and make a contribution as early as year one. He's been really productive at Fresno State. 80-plus receptions in each of his last two seasons. And then Isaiah Land.
My boy! Say it again!
Isaiah Land, FAMU. Shout out FAMU.
Say it again!
There it is.
Big time. And there's some talk about him moving to inside linebacker. And whenever I saw that, I was absolutely thrilled, just because he is so athletic. He's had a long history of getting into the backfield, but what I always wondered with him is, can he take that next step physically, and can he not be overwhelmed if he's trying to rush the passer every down? And so moving him back to inside linebacker, letting him really hone in on his athleticism rather, and move space to space and cover sideline to sideline and still be able to crash into the backfield, That I feel like might be his best chance. And then one more I want to touch on is Hunter Lipke, the fullback. Mm-hmm. He's talk about thrilled to be here. That's,
I know.
Me and Mickey Spagnuolo got to
just talk
to him.
Fullback is back in the building.
He is, and he's ready to do everything. I asked him, I was like, hey, you know, your North Dakota State film, it's got some Kyle Juszczyk to it, just because you're lining up in the slot, you're lining up out wide, you're coming out of the backfield, you're blocking. You know, is that someone you look up to? And he's like, I watched some in Juszczyk film in his Wisconsin accent. He's like, yeah, I'll watch some Juszczyk film, but I'm just really trying to be Hunter Lipke at the end of the day. I like you.
I like
you. So
he's got some receiving talent,
and 100%.
Yeah. So when you, ladies and gentlemen, when you're looking at Hunter Lipke and you look at him on the depth chart and it says FB next to him, don't put him in the box of, oh, he's only here to block. The Cowboys are really going to try to move him around, and you see they're kind of leaning more heavily on versatility. Tony Pollard, he's versatile. Deuce Vaughn, he's versatile. Rojo is your short yardage back, but they look for versatility. CeeDee Lamb can play all three spots. Brandon Cooks can play at least two. Maybe he'll be a small slot every once in a while, but they love it. So I think Lipke will stick.
Let that FB stand for fluid back, not fullback.
Yeah, I like
positional
that. Flex
fluidity.
Back. Fluid back. We'll go with that. Go. For me, I'm going to circle back, and you know, obviously there are the big names, and that's easy. Mozzie Smith, DeMarvion Overshawn, Luke Schoonmaker. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on Junior. They call him Junior Fajoko. I said this after that pick. He is just violent. He wakes up every morning. He chooses violence like he's Cersei Lannister. But for me, I'm going to look at Eric Scott. I'm looking at Eric Scott out of Southern Miss. There's a reason the Cowboys gave up a 2024 fifth-round pick to move up and select Scott at 178. Obviously, immediately the Googlers went to work and they said, oh, well, 472. Oh, what are we doing trading for 472? This guy jumped almost a 40-inch vertical, kind of tweaked his quad doing that, and chose to still run the 40.
And then we got updated film.
And then we got updated film, and Will McClain, Stephen Jones then confirmed that not only did the Cowboys get more data on him after the fact, but it's said and confirmed that he ran sub 4.4 at 1.429 40 on a fully healthy quad. Wow. I'm going to tell you right now, first and foremost, if I tweak my quad right now, not only am I not running the 40, I'm not running to the refrigerator. Okay? So let's inhumane athlete, first and foremost. So the fact that he ran a sub 4.8 with a tweaked hamstring after he's, oh my God. But if you look at his film, not a lot is known about Eric Scott, but when you look at it, he does have room to grow, which is why he was a sixth round pick. But what he does show, he shows in spades. He can take the ball away. He just needs to get there quicker. He needs to be able to trust his eyes and his instincts more. Once he starts overthinking, that's when he loses a step. When you lose a step in the NFL, you're already lost. Mm-hmm. You've already lost. But he has the length. He's prototypical. And when you talk to Will McClain, we talked to Stephen and Will in a couple of post conferences, particularly Will McClain, he lights up talking about this kid. Mm-hmm. He lights up talking about Eric Scott. And I don't know about you, but if Will McClain lights up talking about someone, it's somebody you should probably pay attention to.
Yeah, typically with a speed DB, you sacrifice physicality. It's for some reason you just get one or the other, and he has both, and they're both at an adequate level to where you can develop that and get him to a position where he could be, you know, a Deron Bland type of impact.
Hey, two pick sixes last year.
I'm not saying he's going to be, but you have that type of, you have those traits. You have those traits because you have the speed, you have the physicality. It's just about ramping it up.
For him, it's just refinement. It's refinement for him, and that makes sense because he's a sixth rounder. contender, but this is, again, someone I say keep an eye on because I think that he has the potential. We'll see how it goes in OTAs and training camp and preseason, but Eric Scott has the potential to not only make the roster but make a couple of waves as early as this coming season.
I like everybody you guys just talked about. My favorite part of this process, and this is why I love doing the job that we do, is because you get an opportunity to get to know these guys. We're some of the first people that they get to know just from a professional football standpoint. And so I love the opportunity getting to know these rookies and, you know, kind of helping them on their way. You mentioned Junior Fehoko and how he wakes up and chooses violence.
Every day.
I love that you said that because when he's not on the field, he's opposite of that.
Yeah.
When I got an opportunity to talk to him in the locker room on the first day of rookie minicamp, you know, he came over and I mentioned like, oh, you get to talk to me before you have to talk in the big media scrum. And he was like, I have to talk over there? And I was like, yeah.
Bless his heart.
I was like, yeah, but it's cool. We're going to practice.
Welcome.
You're going to be good. Like, they're not going to ask you anything crazy and we're going to prepare. And so just getting to know him, getting to know like just how kind of not quite soft spoken, but just, you know, it's opposite. So it's even crazier when he gets on the football field and you see how he's attacking, you know, the dummies.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's a crazy flip. But what I'll say about Isaiah Land, you know he's tall, right? Mm-hmm. You know he's a big body. 6'5", 215 is what he is on paper. He looks that way for the most part when you see him. But when he was out at practice on Saturday mm-hmm. in his pads...
I agree.
I was like, who is that?
I agree.
He is massive looking mm-hmm. on the field. And so for him to be able to move as well as he does, you talked about him shifting inside to inside linebacker. Like, that's terrifying to me because, you know, again, like, he's a big body. You see him. He looks big. But you put him in football pads and he's out there, you know, actually yep. playing. He's a guy to me that I am willing onto this 53 because I think he can be a guy who learns under a Leighton Van Der Esch, very similar to what Damone Clark went through
yes.
last year. I think he can also learn some things from Micah Parsons. He talked about wanting to improve on his pass rushing ability. So I think now you've got a Micah Parsons yep. who is floating back and forth playing whatever position Micah Parsons wants to play. So I think that he will also be a good kid on this roster that I hope makes the 53 as well.
Yeah, so. I'm with you, and I think it's really interesting how he came onto the roster. Will McClay talked about
yeah.
how they were watching Marquise Bell this time last
yeah.
year, and they see this edge rusher that accounted for 20 sacks and 25 and a half tackles for loss.
They're like, put a pin in
that. Who's
yeah.
that guy?
They're like, put a pin in that.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to that
in a year from now.
Came back around. You got Marquise Bell on the roster. You've had a lot of Zoom meetings with Isaiah Land since then, and then when he went undrafted, it was almost immediate that
yeah.
he was on the team.
Yeah, so, he was one of the first
yeah.
guys.
Yeah, that really helps.
All right, that's Rookie Talk. Patrick, I know you had a question for us as we wrap up this show, so fire it at us.
Just a quick question. Again, circling back to the schedule, we talk about how challenging it is front to back, top to bottom. But I pose the question to both of you. Which is the singular most difficult game that you see right now before the offseason finishes playing out?
I'm going to start us off here. Okay.
love that.
Man,
love that
you
initiative.
Have a lot of options.
Yeah, you do.
You have a lot
yeah,
of options. I think I'm going to go at Buffalo just because it's December 17th in Buffalo, New York. That's point A. Point B, that offense is going to be humming
mm-hmm.
by then.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming off a Philadelphia game, a Sunday night Philadelphia game. Traveling to Buffalo has been a little difficult in the past as well. So I think that's one where if they come out of Buffalo with a win in what is expected to be negative temperatures probably and snow and whatever else could go down in that game, you're looking pretty good going mm-hmm. into the rest of the schedule, whether you lose at Philly or lose to Philly or not.
I'm going to go the game before that Philly home mm-hmm. game, and here's why. We talked about getting a fast start at the beginning of the season. That's going to be your tone setter. So depending on how that goes, let's say they do really well. Let's say they go 4-2 in that. Math is hard, but regardless, let's say they do really well in that first stretch that we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. You come back from the bye week, you've got the Rams, and then you're at Philly. We talked about the challenging stretches of that NFC showdown
right.
in those three
right.
out of the four games. You're coming off of a Thursday night game against Seattle, so that's a primetime game against a competitor who is going to give you their all,
mm-hmm.
right? As the second time seeing them, especially after the preseason. To me, that Philadelphia game, it's the make-or-break game. Because depending on what you did the first time around at Philly, the two times that you've already faced the Giants and Washington again, that game to me feels like it's going to shape up the way this year's Christmas game, or I guess last year's Christmas game did with the Eagles. That was like, it was a big game because it was the Eagles, but it was also the Cowboys' opportunity to stay in the hunt for the NFC East. And so while I do think physically Buffalo will be challenging, I think that Eagles game has more implications in terms of what the way that the NFC East could shape out.
I do agree with you there. I think that might be the most pivotal one. And I have proof here because I put a star next to it. I agree with Nick. The most challenging to me is Buffalo at Buffalo. Buffalo in December, I mean, that winter in Buffalo and Josh Allen and that offense is going to be humming. That defense is going to be humming. That's just going to be a lights-out challenge for the Dallas Cowboys to march into Buffalo, into that stadium with Buffalo, with Bills Mafia, you know, jumping through tables and just going nuts. And of course, they're already leveled up. They're maxed out just by default. But now you also have the Cowboys coming to town. I think that audience, that crowd, that audience, they're going to find another gear. And the team, they're going to feed off of that. And Buffalo is going to be the most challenging one for me.
All right. Well, there you have it.
But Buffalo, if you go to Buffalo and you win that game, you just told me in that instance that you can make a playoff run.
Yeah.
Well, we will see. Obviously, we've got so much time until this season starts. But that'll do it for Talking Cowboys today. Thanks for letting me talk with you guys.
I think we get you again next week, don't we?
Yes. Yeah. I will be here next week as Kyle finishes up his honeymoon. So, again, we are so excited for Kyle. I'm excited to get to chat with you guys. I never really get to do this on air. So, exciting stuff. And we will do it again next Tuesday.
Yeah, we will.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club. How about this, Cowboys?